Morning, good. Today's daf is in Chulin Kuf Tes Vav. We're in the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are starting today at the two dots right before you're going to see Simanim. And there's going to be one topic over the course of today's daf. How do I know that? Basa b'chalav is also b'achila uvehana. We know that meat and milk cooked together has three serum attached to it. One is that you're not allowed to cook it. The cooking act itself is prohibited. And number two and number three is that you're not allowed to eat it nor benefit from it. These three serum in the Torah are not clearly articulated in the Torah. The Torah says, Lo sevash kadiba chalav imo. And that's it. And the Torah doesn't say, Lo sochlu basa b'chalav. The Torah doesn't say, Lo tishana mi basa b'chalav. Right, the Torah never describes basa b'chalav as being something which has kedusha. In other words, there are no clear instructions in the Torah that this prohibited meat and milk. But yet, we know. Meaning, this Gemara today, we all know the conclusion. We all know where we're ending. We're ending at the point where there is an isser of both achila and hana on the basa b'chalav that was cooked together, and the only question is derivation. How do I know that? Where do we get that from? Where do we learn that from? Perhaps the most popular one is coming up in today's daf, but it will be one of many different pathways in terms of how we arrive at this conclusion. In yesterday's daf, we started with Ravashi. Ravashi gave us one pathway in terms of how to get there. Ravashi in the Gemara, and yesterday's daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So he started off with the following. If you take a look, you can see the beginning of Rav Ashi, right? It's right in the middle of the Amud. Amar Rav Ashi, this is just a review from yesterday. Amar Rav Ashi, minayin la basa b'chalav sha'asa b'achila. How do I know that basa b'chalav is prohibited in consumption? So his derivation comes from the following. The Torah says, lo socha kol to'eva, that you're not allowed to eat anything which is an abomination. And that means to say that once something is categorized, classified as an abomination, so now it has an isser of achila. So you're not allowed to eat it if it's an abomination. Now, the guidelines for abomination is very simple. You violate the Torah. Meaning, once you violate the Torah to arrive at this point in time, so the resulting food is going to be prohibited. So that's good. And that gets me to the Isra of Achila. How do I know about Hana? So the Gemara says for that, he's going to use the principle of Rabbi Abahu. The principle of Rabbi Abahu is that the default setting of the Torah is that anything something is prohibited to eat, that means eat and benefit from, unless the Torah says otherwise. And we went through yesterday that Nevela is the notable exception. Nevela, the Torah prohibits me from eating, all of us from eating. And meanwhile, you can get benefit from it. You can sell it to a guy in the occasion that you have a Nevela animal. Good. So this is all the pathway of Rav Ashi, and the Gemara's got questions. The Gemara's got a lot of questions. And so what we're starting with right now is a series of questions the Gemara is going to be asking against this principle of Rav Ashi of Kol Shati Avti Lecha. In fact, if you take a look at the Simanim, you will now understand that every one of these Simanim represent one of the questions that's about to be asked against this principle of Rav Ashi, of Kol Shati Avti Lecha. So Ela Mi'atza, as we begin now the daf today, we are moving right into today's daf. Ela Mi'atza, we turn to Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, Maisa Shabbos Litzaru. So Maisa Shabbos. So a Jew cooks on Shabbos. Jew cooks on Shabbos, so the resulting action is what in Halacha is referred to as Maisa Shabbos. Numerous Gemaras, actually, not so long ago, we talked about it right here in Chulin. Numerous Gemaras that talk about the status of Maisa Shabbos, what happens when something's cooked on Shabbos. Now, you'll remember, this is going back a long time in Chulin, admittedly. This is around Daf Yadalid, where the Gemara discusses Maisa Shabbos. So that's over 100 Dapim ago. But you'll remember, though, that it was a three-way machlokas in terms of what exactly is the status of Maisa Shabbos, when somebody cooks something on Shabbos. So it's the three-way machlokas, and there's a difference between Shogig and Mazid. But here's basically what we can say very succinctly. If a Jew cooks food on Shabbos, so the food that was cooked is right. How do I say this succinctly? Right. Again, three-way machlokas depends on whether it was done shogeg or mezid, but the food itself is not usser. Okay, I'm saying it as simply as I can. I'm oversimplifying it. The food itself is not usser. Now Rashi over here notes there are some opinions that say that you can't eat the food, and again, some opinions are on Shabbos, some opinions are after Shabbos. But that's all in the realm of kanas. That's all a punitive measure that was imposed by the Chachamim, and it's because a person cooked on Shabbos. But min ha-Torah, the food is mutter. So over here, now, let's see. In other words, it doesn't fit into what Rav Ashi told us. Rav Ashi told us that any time that you violated the Torah to arrive at this point, so therefore the resulting food is going to be prohibited. If Rav Ashi's rule is correct, so Maisa Shabbos should be Aser. Aser min ha-Torah. That's a good question. That's the Gemara's question. And now let's continue. Maisa Shabbos Litzur Adati After Lachahu. So I'm across to the Gemara. Says Ki Kodesh Ilachem. He Kodesh Vein Maaseh Kodesh. So the Gemara says we have a drasha. Meaning, if I without the drasha in Hachinami, you'd be absolutely correct. The cooking of Shabbos, the act of cooking on Shabbos, does in fact should result in the food being prohibited. Kol Shati After Lachah. Anything, anytime you violate the Torah to get there, it should be aser. But we have a drasha. The Torah says that Shabbos is Kodesh, and the resulting actions of Shabbos do not have Kedusha. Kedusha in this context means status. The food itself does not have any change status. The food itself is going to be permitted. Okay? Good. So we have a drasha. Chorish b'shor v'chamor v'chosin pipar v'dash bar litzeru. So the Gemara says, okay, let's continue. What if I were to be plowing with an ox and a donkey? A violation of the Torah of Kalaim, another version of Kalaim. Right, there are many different forms of kalim. One of them is that I'm not allowed to cross plow. I can't take a donkey and an ox and have the two plow together. This is a violation of the Torah. And meanwhile, the resulting food that came from this, meaning we plowed the field, we planted seeds in the field, and so this act, this prohibited act, is now going to become incorporated into the resulting food. And again, I turn back to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, you said, kol shati afti lecha, anytime you violate the Torah, the resulting produce is going to be prohibited. So why don't we say that over here? And the other example of noted over here is chosin pipara, where you have your cow in the threshing room, and the Torah says that you're not allowed to muzzle that cow. You have to allow the cow to go down and eat a little bit of the food. You can't muzzle it. And if you muzzle it now, what? You violate the Torah. What about the resulting food that it threshed? That's going to be mutter. And again, it's the same question. Wait one second. You violated the Torah to get to this point in time, so why isn't the food prohibited? Good. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, let me first read the question of the Gemara. Litzaru dahati afti lecha. Uhu. Hashta uma Shabbos techamir maisa mutarim hani lo kol shekein. So the Gemara says like this. No. Because when it comes to Shabbos, so we had a lim with a special drasha that taught us that the resulting food that I cooked on Shabbos is not going to have status, it's not going to be usher. Now, if that's true regarding Shabbos, which is more chamor, Shabbos has a skila onish attached to it, and it's a kares, if there were no witnesses. So by Shabbos, if Maisa Shabbos is going to be mutter, kol shekein, if I cross-plowed, or if I muzzled my animal, those are lavim in the Torah. They're just simply negative prohibitions. I say simply, meaning relative to Shabbos. So if Maisa Shabbos is going to be mutter, so then the result of these actions are for sure going to be mutter as well. And of course, then it begs the obvious question. So then Basa B'chalav, perfect. So then why don't we say the same thing regarding Basa B'chalav? Meaning, so now we have just established that Maisa Shabbos is mutter, and Kalayim and Chosin Pipar are going to be mutter. So shouldn't Basa B'chalav be mutter as well? Meaning, isn't this argument now of the Gemara going to upend the entire original point of Rav Ashi? And Rashi addresses this question, as does Tosos. Rashi addresses this question, and Rashi writes as follows. Hani lo kol shekein. Rashi is the first skinny line. Ava bebas bechav lo armin and hai kavachomer. This kavachomer doesn't extend to bas bechav, and Rashi says, and I'll tell you why. Da aksiv lo se'achal kol shati afti lecha. Because look, in other words, we do have a drasha of kol shati afti lecha, anything that is the toeva you're not allowed to eat. Now, umistabri di isur dekra aleha kamar. Now, most logically, it's talking about what? It's got to be talking about Basa B'chalav. Why? Daha achil to'eva gufa. Because in Basa B'chalav, what is the to'eva? Cooking the meat and milk. So in other words, the Isser is going on the food itself. And so therefore, now that the Isser went on the food, there's an Isser in the food. And so now the Torah says, now that you put an Isser into the food, there's an Isser in terms of creating the food, so therefore you're not allowed to eat it. That's kol shati afti lecha. Avahai lo achel hacharisha atzma. But think about these Isserim that we're discussing right now. Violation of Shabbos. Cross plowing. Chosim pipara. Rashi says, you're not eating the charisha, meaning the Isser is in the act of charisha. El haba mimena. In other words, it's the plowing and then the resulting planting in the plowing and the resulting growth from there. So really, it's too far along in the process. continues Rashi. I'm with you. Hachosim v'hadashnami lav chasim agufa ka'achel ela maisa haba al yada. So, and also, says Rashi, when I'm muzzling my animal, so again, the iser is on the act of muzzling. So, and as far as the resulting food, again, we're too far along in the process. The iser is not in the food itself. Ela maisa haba al yadam. V'alfin ha-mashab is de'in haba mikocha kodesh. And so, therefore, they're going to be learned from Shabbos because that which comes from Shabbos is not going to be considered kodesh. Meaning that Shabbos is Kodesh and the resulting acts themselves are not going to be Kodesh. Now let's go to Shabbos. Meaning, good. This Rashi did a wonderful job making distinctions between Basar B'Cholav and the cases of cross-plowing and Chosin Pipara. Good. But what about Shabbos itself? Meaning, if I'm being Mevashel B'Shabbos, so L'chora, that's an act that's going in the food. That's an Issa that's going in the food. And what you're going to have to say in defense of Rashi is, that's true, but the iser is not on the food per se. The iser is on Chilul Shabbos. So, in other words, it's still tangential to the actual food itself. Granted, of course, says that by violating Shabbos, now you have cooked food. But the iser itself is more rooted in Shabbos than it is in the food itself. Bishul Basar B'Cholav, the iser is in the food itself. Mamish, the act of cooking these two foods together, so the isra is more in the food than it is something which is external to the food itself. Okay, back to the Gemara. Klai HaKerem. Right? So, I'm sorry, Klai Zeraim Litzeru. So the Gemara now brings up tangerines. Okay? I know the Gemara doesn't say tangerines, but, right, my best example. Okay, so in other words, so basically what happens is that we take various seeds, we plant them together, and we make some sort of crossed vegetation. And so, they should be usher. Now, of course, we know they're not, right? I myself, together with more or less everyone I know, I guess it's really a question of taste, but we all eat tangerines, and they're delicious. And so, we know that Kalai Zeraim, now we're not talking about Kalai HaKerem, that's when I'm taking seeds and planting them in the vineyard, that is usher b'achila v'hana. But we're not talking about Kalai HaKerem. We're talking right now about Klai Zeraim, just simply other forms of fruits and vegetation. So when I cross them together, so the resulting fruit now that comes as a result of the cross is going to be mutter. But the Gemara says, but why? In other words, kol shati aftalacha, meaning to get to that point in time, the formation of these crossed fruits and vegetables obviously represent an iser. And so if I had a cross in order to get to this iser, and I had to violate the Torah to get to this food, so shouldn't the food itself become usser? So the Gemara says, litzer dahati aftalecha, who? So once again, the Gemara says, midigalaber rachman agabe klai karem pentiktash pentukadesh mechlal deklai zarem sharu. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why I know that's the wrong conclusion. Because think about it, klai hakarem. Now, by Kalai Karim, if I take the vineyard, and in the vineyard I plant other seeds, and there are Gemaras that speak about exactly how to violate Kalai Karim. But for us today, we could just simply say succinctly that if I plant other seeds in the vineyard, so the resulting vineyard now is Aser. Aser b'achila uvehana. And the Torah says, pentiktash hamaleya. And tiktash is a contraction of the words pentukat esh. If I took a vineyard and planted other seeds in the vineyard, so what must I do with the resulting crop? I have to burn it in fire, meaning it's aser b'achila uvehana, and I have to totally destroy it. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. Since the Torah is mechadish by klai hakerem, that's going to be aser b'achila uvehana, so that means that anything short of klai hakerem, other crossed produce, is not going to be aser b'achila uvehana. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we make the following argument? Ve'ema klai hakerem asurim b'im b'achila b'im b'ana, klai zarem b'achila asir b'ana asharu. Okay. So I understand that Klai Zoram is one step below Klai HaKerem. But let's just make it one step. Meaning, Klai HaKerem is also B'Achila V'Hana. That's a given. Now I know Klai Zoram is less than that. So we can go one degree less. Meaning, by Klai Zoram, why don't we say that's Aser B'Achila, but not Aser B'Hana? And that's one degree less Aser than that of Klai HaKerem. Why don't we say that? So the Gemara says, "Itkish leklai behema dechsi behemtechalos sarbia klaim sadchalos izra klaim ma behemtecha yotzi mimenem muter sav sadcha yotzi mimenem muter." So the Gemara says, "No, we're not going to say that because we know that Klai Zeraim is linked to, it's a Hekesh, in the same pasuk with Klai Behema. Now, Klai Behema, I take a donkey, I take a horse, breed them together. Now, you're not allowed to breed them together, meaning that's an Isser of crossing. But meanwhile, if somebody were to breed them together and produce a mule, so we know what is the status of that mule, so it is mutter. So, ma behemtecha yotzi mimenu muteres, avsadcha yotzi mimenu mutter. So, just like the result of the crossing of animals is going to be mutter. My example of the mule, by the way, the mule is not the best example because we can't eat it. So, but right, but you're right, but you can get benefit from it. The point is that by crossing animals together, even though you violated the Torah, the result is going to be a heter. So too, when I'm crossing seeds together, again, not klai hakerem, but klai zeraim. So when I'm crossing seeds together, the result is going to be mutter. And then, of course, it only begs the next question. Well, how do you know? Meaning, maybe in a chanami. If I cross animals together, maybe the resulting product is going to be usur. So klai behema gufay minalam. So the Gemara's answer, mida usur rechmana klaim legavoa, mechlal de lehejot shari. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that if I cross animals together, the result is going to be mutter. Because the Torah says that if I have a crossed animal, if I have not a purebred, but if I have a hybrid of two different animals, and let's say that the two different animals that we cross together are in fact kosher animals, so that the result is going to be a kosher animal, right? Right. We talked earlier in the Masechta of the possibility, again, the Gemara had a machlokas, whether you can or you can't do it, but whether it's possible or not possible, but let's say we took a goat and sheep, and we cross them together, and the result is going to be now some sort of hybrid, right? We have a mutt now on our hands. What does the Torah say regarding that animal? You can't bring it as a carbon. The only animals that can qualify and be brought as a carbon, only purebreds. Ah, so the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, so we know now that if I have a hybrid animal, so I can't bring it as a carbon. The clear implication is it's only pasul legabe hamizbeach. It is not usur legabe hajot. Good. So basically, now if you want to, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to go in the other direction. Now I know that crossed animals, in fact, the result of crossed animals are going to be mutter. How do I know that? Because the Torah only asks it for the mizbeach and not for hedjo, not for common consumption. Then we go from there to the hekesh. The hekesh tells us that crossed animals are mutter. Cross seeds are going to be mutter as well. Cross seeds are going to be mutter because, again, it's mukash, it's connected to animals. I, Klai Kerem is going to be also. Klai Kerem is different. Klai Kerem, the Torah says, Pentikta Shamaleya. And now we go all the way back to the question of, what about the principle of Kol Shetiavti Lecha? Kol Shetiavti Lecha is not going over here on cross seeds because of the Hekesh that we just learned together. Okay, Viter. Osav Espeno Litzer. So the Gemara says, what about the Yisr of Osav Espeno? I shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day. I violated the Torah. A lav in the Torah of Osav Espeno. And yet, let's say we did violate the Torah. And let's say we shechted a mother and the offspring on the same day. So can you eat both animals? Now, the simplest answer to that question is yes. That's a simple answer, as we're going to see in our Gemara today. There are some shittos amongst the Rishonim that for the person himself who violated the Isser, so he's not allowed to eat the second animal, whichever one he shechted on the same day. Right? So there is a possible kenas for the person who did it on that day. But that's not meikar adin, meaning just a lib de pshuto shel gemara, so you're allowed to eat the mother and its offspring even though you violated the Torah. Good. Now with that in mind, now we know, we're primed already. We already know the question. How can that be? You know, the kol shuti avti lecha, any time that you violate the Torah, the result is going to be that you shouldn't be able to eat it. So the Gemara, that's the Gemara's question. Osav espeno litzer, mida asar rachmana, mechus zman legavo, mechlal de lehejo sharei. So the Gemara's answer over here, very similar to the previous answer. Well, Osav Espeno. What exactly is the Isser of Osav Espeno? So it's what in Halacha we refer to as Mechus Zman. It's premature. An animal immediately after it's born. So can I shecht and eat it? Yes. Can I bring it as a carbon? Not yet. You can't bring it as a carbon until the eighth day. Miyom Hashmini Vahala Yeratzeh. So when an animal is born, so it is considered now mechusar zman, premature. and you cannot offer it until the eighth day. We talked about earlier in the Masechta that you could be makdashit the night of the eighth day, but in other words, but the actual bringing it can only occur on the eighth day. When I shecht a mother, its offspring now is mechusar zman, meaning today you're not allowed to shecht it, but tomorrow you are. So when we're now putting the Isser of Osav Espino in the category of Mechusar Zman, so what do we know regarding Mechusar Zman? Mechusar Zman is the only Pasul Agabe HaMikdash, only Pasul Agabe Mizbech, but for Hedger it's going to be Mutter. Okay, good. Shiluach HaKen. Now the Gemara says now, sending away the mother bird, we will be spending a perek here in Chulin talking about the Isser of Shiluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird. The Torah prohibits one to take the mother bird while it's nesting, while it's sitting on the nest, with its chicks or its eggs, that mother is going to be usser. In other words, and if you were to take her, you violate this in the Torah. What does the Torah demand of us? Send away the mother bird. Now, sending away the mother bird, shiluach haken, litzer. So what we should say is that if I were to take that mother bird, so one would be violating an isser. Rashi kagon. Now tell us, Amy, alabanimu, valafanenu, vichayvenu l'shaleach. Let's say someone took the mother bird and violated the Isser. And then, after taking the mother bird, realized, oh, I think I did something wrong. Okay, so he goes to his local Rav. And the Rav says, that's right, you violated the Torah. So here's now what you're supposed to do. Take that bird and send it away. Oh, but wait 1 second. Send it away. In other words, somebody else is going to catch it. And so, but before we get to that point, the Gemara is going to head there in just a second. But send it away. What do you mean? It's kol shetiyafti lecha. He violated this in the Torah. So that bird now should become aser. Aser ba'achila, aser ba'hana. That bird should be aser. And so how can we send it away? So the Gemara over here says, by virtue of the fact that there's a mitzvah to send it away, we have to say that it's not aser ba'achila v'hana. Next point of the Gemara. So lo amar Torah shaleach litakala. The Gemara says, look, it's a halachic impossibility. Where if the Ratzon Habore is that we are, after you take the bird, you're going to send it away, and now you're basically going to ensnare and trap somebody else who's going to take that bird unknowingly and then use that bird as, you know, and turn that bird into, convert that bird into dinner. And he didn't know that that bird was involved in the Isser of Shiluach HaKen. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah says send it away, it is now clear, it's a gilui, that the bird is not aser ba'achila, it's not aser ba'hana. Okay, and so once again, it's an exception to the rule, which is funny, by the way. The rule really now becomes a really limited rule. I mean, kol she'tiyafti lecha, anything that is an abomination is going to be aser ba'achila. And right now, we have it limited to basa b'chalav. Okay, I'm a Reish Lakish. That's it. Adkan. So that now is the conclusion. That's a wrap up of Ravashi. So again. How do I know that? So if you want to now go say over half of today's daf, and you say over the sheet of Ravashi is predicating it on the fact that the Torah has a rule of kol she'tiyafti lecha, anything which is an abomination is going to be aser b'achila uvehana. How do I know it's aser b'achila uvehana? So for that we have the rule of Rabbi Abahu. The default setting of the Torah is that the Isser Achila has in it the Isser Hana, unless the Torah says otherwise, like Nevela. So good. And now, application of this rule, Basa B'chalav. Because you violated the Torah to make Basa B'chalav, you violated the Isser of Lo Sevashu Gedi B'chalav Imau. So therefore, the result now is that you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to get benefit from it based on the principle of Kol She'tiyafti Lecha. Is there any other application of this principle, according to Ravashi? I think the answer is no. All right, I think that's the right answer. Okay, which I know, as I pointed out, it's a little bit strange. Kol she'tiyafti lecha. And meanwhile, there's one example.
You said it was there a violation of the act itself.
Right, correct. No, enachanami. In other words, we know why it's limited to basa b'chalav. But it's just funny that it's a rule with one example.
What does he do with the fact that it says three times lo
sevashit? We go back to yesterday's daf and the daf before, various ribuyim, miutim, right? The Gemara in Kuf Yud Aleph.
He doesn't learn from that that there's Israel or
No. I'm sorry. Go back to Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara had a whole series of ribuyim and miutim. We're going to include this, we're going to exclude this. And okay, in other words, we We could use it for something else. We have ways to use it. Okay, Amar Rish Lakish. Our second approach of this morning, in terms of how do I know that Basar B'Chalav is Asar B'Achila V'Hana? Minan L'Basar B'Chalav She'Asar Tamal Amar Al Tochlu Mimenu Na'u V'Hashal Mevushal. So the Torah by Karban Pesach gives us very clear guidelines in terms of how to prepare the Karban Pesach, and that is roast it. Don't roast it partially, right? Al Tochlu Mimenu Na'u. Na over here means partially roasted. It's got to be fully roasted. Two, uvashal mevushal. You also can't cook it. Now, bishal over here is the isser of cooking it in a liquid, right? In other words, you can't put it in a pot and cook it. The Karban Pesach must be roasted and fully roasted. Good. That's what we learned from Parshas Bo. Shein tamalamar mevushal, meaning, and over here, what does it say? Uvashal mevushal. And you're not allowed to cook it. What's a double lashon? It's a strange double lashon. So So encrypted in the iser of bashal mevushal by the Karban Pesach is going to be an allusion, a reference to the iser of bishal as it relates to basar b'chalav. I mean, I can ask you, what other iser bishal is there in the Torah? Where else in the Torah do we have an iser bishal? You'd be hard pressed to find one. Now I know in today's daf alone we talked about the Isser of Bishl on Shabbos, but that's not an Isser Bishl. That's an Isser Shabbos with the Malacha being one of them, the Isser of Bishl. But that's not an Isser Bishl per se, right? I think that's it. I think we're capped over here. The Isser of Bishl Bishl Karban Pesach and the Isser Bishl Basar B'Chalav. So Amalei Rav Yochanan Ka'or Zush Hashanah Rebbe. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, look. I'm sure it's a wonderful drasha. I'm sure it is. But you know, Rebbe already gave us a drasha. You didn't like the drasha that Rebbe gave us? And you now are choosing, you're selecting your own drasha? What is the drasha of Rebbe? Karazu Shoshana Rebbe, Lo Sochlenu, Babasa Bechalva Kazamadaber. Now over here, this Lo Sochlenu is in Parshas Re'eh, and it's by Psulei Hamukdashin. We know that an animal, once is designed, is designated to be a carbon, that's it. It is a carbon. And once it's eligible to be brought as a carbon, so it has now what's called Kedusha Saguf, and one is not allowed to redeem it. However, if that animal develops a blemish, a mum, so then one is in fact supposed to redeem it. And you're poed to this animal. And this animal now, that once was a carbon, eligible to be a carbon, and now is going to be redeemed, so this in halacha is referred to as Psulei Hamukdashin. Now the halacha, we're good. And the halacha by Psulei Hamukdashin is that it is going to have residual kedusha, meaning you and I can eat it, and you and I don't have to offer it as a karban, but it has residual kedusha. What is the residual kedusha? So it means that you and I could shecht it normally, karagil, but aser begizo va'avoda. But you're not allowed to work it, you're not allowed to shear it, so it is a little bit of a hybrid. Now I'm using the words carefully. All right, hold on to those words carefully in just a moment. We're going to come back to that. Psulei Hamukdashin is a little bit of a hybrid. And meanwhile, the Torah says, Lo sochlena. Now, the Torah says, don't eat it. It's not talking about the animal per se. Of course, you're allowed to eat the animal. When the Torah says, Lo sochlena, what is it talking about? The blood of the animal. The blood of that animal, you're not allowed to eat. Now, we already know the Torah has told us time and again that one is not allowed to eat the blood. So this is what's called now extra. It's a ribui. Mm. So the Torah says, Lo sochlena by the blood of Psulei Hamukdashin. So what Rebbe says is, you know what? We're going to take that expression, Lo sochlena, and we're going to pluck it out from that parsha of Psulei Hamukdashin, and we're going to apply it to Basar B'Chalav. So Lo sochlena be-Basar B'Chalav because of Medaber. Ato Omer be-Basar B'Chalav because of Medaber. Oinu Allah be-Echa mikol Yisurim she-Betorah. Okay, but it seems a little bit haphazard, a little bit random. We're taking Lo sochlena, fine. I understand it's extra. I get it. But we're taking Lo sochlenu by the blood of Psulei Hamukdashin and we're applying it to what? To Basar B'Chalav? Arbitrary, right? The Gemara says it's not arbitrary. So, Tzei Ulamad Meyugim Amidah Shatar Nidreshes Bahem. So the Gemara now, as we just finished Purim and getting ready for Pesach, Tzei Ulamad. So Tzei Ulamad, so the Gemara says, look, we have ways in which we darshan the Torah. Yudgim Amidah Shatar Nidreshes Bahem. So, and one of them is Davar Halami Me'inyano. And the Gemara over here uses this in this particular situation. Davar Halami Me'inyano Mamea Kazam Medaber B'Shnei Minim Afkan B'Shnei Minim. Davar halami minyano, context. Context is a guiding principle of the Torah, in which, even though the Torah speaks in somewhat ambiguous terms on occasion, so the context is there to clarify what exactly it's talking about. The lo sochlenu of the blood of psulei hamukdashim is not talking about the blood of psulei hamukdashim, it's talking about something which is contextually similar. Basar b'chalav is contextually similar to psulei hamukdashim. Why? Because psulei hamukdashim is really shnei minim. It's a hybrid. Now, how does Rashi explain shnei minim over here? So Rashi says shnei minim because of what I said earlier, meaning I was foreshadowing the Rashi. Right? In other words, on one hand, psulei hamukdashim is chulin. We don't have to offer it as a karban. You and I can eat it. We can eat it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We can eat it outside of Yerushalayim. Good. On the other hand, also begiza v'avoda, just like a karban. So it's a hybrid. So in other words, so we have to now look at another area in the Torah where it's also a hybrid. What also is a hybrid? Basar b'chalav. So the Gemara says, afkam shnei minim. Good. This is the limud of Rebbe that arrives at the conclusion that basar b'chalav is basar b'achila uvana. Okay. Now with that stated, so now we're back to the question Rav Yochanan asks Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, why are you electing another drasha altogether? What's wrong with the drasha of Rebbe? We just learned together the drasha of Rebbe, and it's principled on davar halame minyano. So why didn't you like that drasha? So the Gemara's answer, this is Reish Lakish's answer to Rav Yochanan. Okay, you're right, but the drasha of Rebbe only gets me so far. Because what is the isser of lo sochlenu? In context, it's don't eat the blood of the psulei hamukdashim. The isser achilas dam is an isser achila, not an isser hana. Ava bahana lo. So kamash malan. So what Reish Lakish is doing is that I'm adding with my drasha the isser of hana. Right? The drasha of Reish Lakish is the drasha of basha mavushal from Karban Pesach. We know that Karban Pesach, once you have not prepared the Karban Pesach correctly. Instead of roasting it, you cook it. Now, what becomes of the Karban Pesach that was not prepared correctly? It is now a Karban that becomes disqualified. We all know the status of a Karban becoming disqualified. You can't eat it. You can't get benefit from it. It's also b'achil v'hana. Reish Lakish is saying is that what I'm adding to Rebbe, I'm not rejecting Rebbe. I accept Rebbe. But what I'm adding to Rebbe is the clarification that not only is basar b'chalav asar b'achila, which is clearly what we learn from Rebbe, but on top of that, also with my drasha, I also arrive at the conclusion that it's also ba'ana. V'Rebbe ba'ana minale. Now the Gemara says, okay. Now Rebbe obviously didn't feel like he needed an add-on drasha. Rebbe was comfortable with his drasha alone, serving as a source for the Isra Achila and Hana. Why? So nafkalei mehacha nemar kan kiyam kadosh atal Hashem nemar lahalan v'lo yek kadesh b'vnei Yisrael ma lahalan ba'ana afkan ba'ana. So as far as Rebbe's concerned, so he had another drasha to arrive at the conclusion of Isser Hana. The Torah says, Kam Kadosh Ata, in reference to the Isser Basar B'Chalav. The Torah also says, Lo Ye Kadesh. Kadesh, in this context, probably means, and this seems to be Rashi's pshat over here, is that you're not allowed to be involved in male prostitution. Lo Ye Kadesh. So, Ma Lahalam Ba'ana, now there, clearly the Isser is an Isser Hana, meaning we're talking about Arias. So we're talking about Isser Hana. So too over here by Basar B'Chalav, we're also talking about Israel as well. Otherwise stated, it's a Gzeres Shavah. So Rebbe has a tack on Gzeres Shavah that arrives at that conclusion. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to Reish Lakish's drasha. And as a bonus, we also got Rebbe's drasha as well, that Basar B'Chalav is Asar B'Achila Uvahana. And we continue along in the daf, so other approaches. Debei Rebbe Eliezer, Tana. Lo sochlu kol nevela, amra Torah kishetim kareno, lo sevashlan vitim kareno. So, what happens when we have a nevela, an animal that did not benefit from a shechita and died without a shechita? That animal is a nevela. And that animal is now what? Well, we just saw in yesterday's daf. You give it to the ger toshav, you sell it to the guy. Can we do the opposite? Machlokas, the tanaim, we just saw it yesterday. Anyway, so kishetim kareno. So the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer is as follows. If I'm going to take my nevela and I'm going to sell it to the guy, lo sevashlena v'tim karena. Don't cook it in milk and then sell it. Because by cooking in milk and selling it, so you'd be violating the isser of as basar b'chalav. So that is the source that tells us that there's going to be an isser hana'a by basar b'chalav. The Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Now it's not clear. Just think out loud for a moment. Not clear according to Debei Rabbi Eliezer. Did we just learn out Nisar Anan, not Nisar Achila? Meaning, was he supplementing the Shita of Rebbe? The Rebbe already established that there's Nisar Achila, and as far as the Isar Anah is concerned, he's just adding on to the Isar Anah? Or is Rabbi Eliezer providing us both the Isar Anah and the Isar Achila? Okay, not totally clear. But anyway, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Now again, you pull the somewhat educated Jew on the street and you ask him, how do I know that Bas B'chal V'Zosu B'Achila and Uvahana, together with, of course, the Isser of Bishol. So most probably, this is the most popular. Okay, I can't really speak to popularity, but I think this one's the most popular. So, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Lo Savashu Kadiba Chalevimo Gimel Pa'amim. It says it three times. Echel Isser Achila Ve'echel Isser Anah Ve'echel Isser Bishol. And by virtue of the fact that the Torah says it three times, so we're basically going to take each time, even though the text of the Torah is exactly identical each time, but where one time is going to be for Bishul, the second time for Echila, and the third time is going to be for Anah as well. Okay, Tanya Isi ben Yehuda, Omer. Minayin la basa b'chalav she'asar. How do I know that basa b'chalav is asar? So here we're going to be starting, we're not going to be concluding, we're going to be starting another approach for this morning. It's going to be our last approach for this morning, and we're not even going to finish it. Nemar kan kiyam kadoshata v'nemar lahalam v'anshe kodesh tiyon li basa basada trefalo sochelu. So we start off with Xereshava. The Torah says, Am Kadosh Ata, that's in reference to Basar B'Chalav. That Pasuk contextually is talking about the Isser of Basar B'Chalav. That is in Parshas Re'eh. I take that right back. Am Kadosh Ata. I was right. I'll stick with your first answer. Okay, it was in Parshas Re'eh. So right, Ki Am Kadosh Ata L'Shem Lokecha Lo Sivashu Gedi B'Chalav Imo. Perek Yudal Pasuk Chafalav. So that Am Kadosh Ata is clearly referencing Basar B'Chalav. V'nemar lahalam v'anshe kodesh tiyon li basar basada trefalo sochelu. That pasuk is in Mishpatim. That pasuk is referencing the Isser of Trefa, that one is not allowed to eat a Trefa animal. So ma lahalan asar afkan asar. So we have over here Gzera Shava. V'ein li ela ba'achila. Now, of course, the Trefa animal is only asar ba'achila. So how do I know Bahana Minayin? How do I know that Basar B'Chalav is Asar Bahana as well? Again, we all know the conclusion. It's just a question of how to get there. So Amar Kavachomer. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to make the following argument. Mar Arla Shalo Nevda Bavera. Let's start with the Isser of Arla. Now, the Isser of Arla, no Avera was done. And of course no Avera was done. What is the Isser of Arla? When you plant a tree, that's a good thing. We should all be planting trees. When you plant a tree, so the produce that comes, the fruit that comes on that tree for the first 3 years after planting, that's Asar. That's Arla. There was no Isser in the creation of Arla. You did what you were supposed to do. You planted trees. So, lo nevda ba'avera asura ba'hana. Now we know the resulting fruit for those first 3 years are going to be asura ba'achila uva'ana. So, basa b'chalav shenevda ba'avera in adin shasura ba'ana. So the Gemara says, so now, basa b'chalav, how do we get to basa b'chalav? You violated the Torah to get to basa b'chalav. So you're neva ba'avera. So neva ba'avera by basa b'chalav. So for sure, it should be asur ba'ana. The Gemara says, okay, mala arla shekein lo haisa l'shasa kosher. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know, arla never had a time in which it was eligible. Meaning, arla from the time that was planted is going to be asur. Masha inki by basa b'chalav went separate, meaning before we cooked it, the basa was mutter, the chalav was mutter. So how could I compare the two? Chametz b'pesach yochich. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So what I'll introduce over here into this discussion is chametz b'pesach. Shaisa lo shasa kosher v'asur ba'ana. Chametz be-Pesach, obviously prior to Pesach it was mutter. Pesach comes along, now it becomes asur. Chametz on Pesach is asur be-Achila uve-Hana'a. So the Gemara says, Mala chametz be-Pesach, shekeinu nashkari. So the Gemara says, really? You're going to compare basar b'chalav to chametz. How can you make that comparison? The prohibition of chametz be-Pesach is an isur kares. Basar b'chalav, it's a lav in the Torah. You can't compare the two. So now, what's the next move? So if we didn't have any more words in the Gemara, so the next move would have been, okay, fine, so then we'll just go right back to Arla. And then we'll do our classic Binyan Av Mishnei Ksuvim, Lo Rizek Rizeh, Hatzara Shava Shebehen. So I'm setting us up, we're probably going to start this tomorrow, but I'm setting us up because the Gemara does not do that. But what the Gemara now does is it goes now to a third Isser in the Torah. Klai HaKerem Yochichu She'ena Nushkaris V'Aser Ba'ana. Now Klai HaKerem, we're back to the vineyard. If I plant other seeds in the vineyard, so the resulting produce is going to be asur ba'achila uve'ana. And meanwhile, it's not an isur kares. So what we have over here, according to Isi ben Yehuda, is How do I know that basar b'chalav is aser? So the answer that aser b'achilu v'ana. So it's for Isi ben Yehuda, it's a long pathway. Number one, he starts off with the gzeira shava. The gzeira shava that compares basar b'chalav, not compares, but links basar b'chalav to treifa. That only gets us to the isra of achila. How do I know that there's an isra ana? So he starts off with a series of binyanav. He starts off first with arla. Arla, however, it's a strange place to go from because no averu was done in the formation of arla. I planted a tree. Basar b'chalav, there was an isra that was done. We then bounce to chametz on Pesach, where it did start off as heter and then it becomes aser, just like basar b'chalav. But I can't compare chametz to basar b'chalav. Chametz b'pesach is an isra kares. Then the Gemara jumps to Kalai HaKerem. Kalai HaKerem, which does not have an Issa Kares, so that and the Kalai HaKerem is going to be Asa B'Achila Vahana, so too Basar B'Chalav is going to be Asa B'Achila Vahana. So that was a very long pathway to get to the point where now Basar B'Chalav is Asa B'Achila Vahana, and there are many steps along the road over here which are curious. He went from Gzeira Shava, and I'm just basically setting us up for tomorrow. He went from Gzeira Shava and then he moved to Binyanav. Well, if we're going to go to Binyanav, why start with the Gzeira Shava? He then, in the Binyanav, he went from Arla to Chametz BePesach, and then Chametz BePesach, Arla was limited, Chametz BePesach was limited, and then he went to Klai HaKerem. Why go to Klai HaKerem? Why not go back to Arla and use the Binyanav Mishnei Ksuvim? Another curiosity. So many curiosities in the drush of Isi Ben Yehuda. Tomorrow when we start, so we're going to start trying to navigate through Isi Ben Yehuda. Let's quickly recap for today. Today we learned about the Isra Basar B'Chalav being Asar B'Achila V'Ana. In the Torah itself, it never states it clearly that it's Asar B'Achila V'Ana. We know, min ha-Torah, it's Asar B'Achila V'Ana. How do we know that? So for today, we went through the drasha of Rav Ashi, Kol She'tiyafti Lecha, the various questions, took a full amud of our daf today, the various questions on the sheet of Rav Ashi, of Kol She'tiyafti Lecha, the Gemara's defense of Rav Ashi. That was the Amud Aleph. Reish Lakish gives us a different drasha. Bashel Mavushal by the Karban Pesach. The double Lashon. We're going to take one of those bishels and we're going to move it over to Karban Pesach. We learned Rebbe's drasha, the top of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. Rebbe's drasha of the Adavar Halamed Me'inyano regarding the Isser Achila of the Dam of Psule HaMukdashim. Right there it flows so chlenu, it's an extra Isra Achila. So Rabbi says, Min Davar Lame Minyano. Why is it Davar Lame Minyano? Because Psule HaMukdashim is a hybrid. It is Chulin and Hekdesh, put together in one animal. Basar B'Chalav is also a hybrid. Okay, and the Gemara wonders now, why didn't Reish Lakish like the drush of Rabbi? So Reish Lakish thought that Rabbi's drush was limited. It only speaks about an Isra Achila, it doesn't also speak about an Isra Hana'a. The next drasha we went over today is Rabbi Eliezer's drasha, which is the drasha of nevela can be sold to a goy, but you can't cook the nevela and milk and sell it to a goy because then it would be asar b'ana. The drasha of Rabbi Shmuel, perhaps the most famous, and by the way, one of the reasons why it's the most famous or the most popular is because when the Shulchan Aruch brings down the halachas, when he introduces us to the halachas of basar b'chalav, the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel, right, and lending it to its popularity. And then finally, we started today the drasha of Isi ben Yehuda. The drasha of Isi ben Yehuda is a complex drasha, starting with a gzeira shava going to a binyanav. Not one, two, but three different sources in terms of citing the precedent case in which something is going to be asar b'achila v'ana and extending it over to basar b'chalav.